Good evening. Tonight's topic is marrying in the Lord. I see most of the congregation here belong to the married category. And the rest, many of them are preparing. But there will be a few who eventually do not. My marrying in the Lord was an answer to prayer. And so it should be with most of you. Prayer is something that is available to all. And that is the theme of this Bible conference. Watch and pray. So that after this 5 days, 6 days of gathering and listening to the Word of God, I pray that it will make an impact and a difference to the way we all pray. I never forget a scene which I saw when I was still quite small. One day, I accidentally opened the door to my mother's bedroom. And there I saw her kneeling on a mat, praying. And that forever is remembered. And it has impacted my life in no uncertain way. I hope you all also will pray that God will give you the spirit of prayer. And for this, I have a verse which I learned many years ago. Perhaps you would like to turn there. Jeremiah 33:3. It's a wonderful verse of scripture. Jeremiah was often greatly discouraged for his people, how they fell into corruption and how he wept for them. Here is the Lord giving him words of encouragement. Jeremiah 33:3. Would you please read with me? Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What Jeremiah said in the long past to Israel, he says to us today, tonight, call unto me. Do we call with confidence? The modernist missionary told our members in Batok Pahat Church, don't be so superstitious. Always everything praying. You think God is so free with all the time to listen to your little requests? Dearly beloved, what does the Apostle Paul tell us? In everything by prayer and supplication. Everything means everything. Big and small, always go to the Lord. Will you remember this, please? Our coming here is an investment, as I said on the first night. And we expect returns for investment. You put time and energy, preparation, and subscribe to the camp fees, etc., etc. And you are here. This is your investment. What are you going to get out of it? Call unto me, oh, and I will answer thee. This is the sure promise. Can you believe it? I say my marrying in the Lord was an answer to prayer. But before I go into the details, I have a few other instances of answered prayer in my life. There are too many to recount, but here are just a few. Yesterday, I spoke about the Japanese occupation. And those people are well known for their atrocities, how they killed without any compassion, ruthlessly. Now, the question often asked me is, did you suffer under the Japanese? My answer is no. In fact, we met a lot of good Japanese. Can it be? Answer is absolutely. There are good as well as not good Japanese. And will not your God, whom you trust, keep you from the bad ones and send only the good ones? Answer is yes. To God is nothing difficult. So during the whole of the Japanese occupation of 4 years, we did not suffer once from any kind of rough treatment or hurt or harm at all. When it came to our repatriation from Singapore back to Batu Pahat, can you imagine that when the whole transportation system had broken down, all the lorries along Bridge Road, those of you who are familiar will know that the Malaysian terminal ends in Bridge Road. And there you get the buses and the lorries. So on that morning, we made straight for that so-called terminal. By then, of course, it wasn't really functioning, but only those few buses and lorries were doing a bit of business. So after prayer, in everything by prayer, dear friends, before you set out to Beach Road from Tiong Bahru, that is probably about 3 miles or so. And in those days, what transport? Old-fashioned jinriksha. You know what that means? Man-powered pullers who ran along the street pulling you, seated in the rickshaw. And so we went merrily along Bras Basah Road. All these places you can identify and verify. As we went along Bras Basah Road, for some reason, my eye caught sight of a Japanese officer with a large Alsatian dog. And I said to my father, look. He says, what? I said, look, that Japanese officer. Let's go and call him. He said, what are you trying to do? I said, never mind. I think he's the one who came to our clinic in Batu Pahat. Sure enough, we went across and caught him. And he was surprised at first, of course. Who are these people accosting me, stopping me on the highway? Ah, you are the doctor from Batu Pahat. So how to communicate? Thank God, the kanji or the Chinese script is the same. So Father wrote out that we need vehicle. The word, Oh, you will need this. Why? We want to go back to Batu Pahat. That's enough. He knew what we wanted. He turned around and said, follow me. Now, these places you can verify. Even the building you can see it still today, the Capitol building. You go along Bras Basah Road until you hit North Bridge and you turn right. And then the next stop is Capitol building along Stamford Road. And there by the side of Capitol building, there were at least 20 good-looking, brand new Japanese trucks, all with covered wagon at the back. The next morning, two came to Tiong Bahru, and we loaded everything, praising God all the time. What on earth? The atrocious, terrible, reputation Japanese coming to our help. And on the front, two big signboards written in Japanese, Chinese. On mission for the Japanese army. And all the way, we did not have to get down for about a dozen centuries. You know, in those days, every checkpoint, you got to get down, you walk, and then you bow, and you, if the sentry doesn't like you, you get a slap, and so on. Straight to Patupahat. Is that an answer to prayer? That the enemies come and take you home with, I say, VIP treatment. You don't even have to get down once and don't get scolding and get beating all the way from point A, door to door. I say God answers prayer in ways you do not know. Besides the 4 years that we lived under Japanese rule, it's not easy, you know. People who are so rough and so proud having conquered the once mighty British Empire. And then now they are the masters. When I resigned my post in KK Hospital, remember that in 1938, I promised the Lord. And when you promise, don't forget the promise. I did not forget. In fact, 1938, 39, 40, 41, the Japanese came. 4 years marking time, waiting for the Japanese to go until the Nippon will go. Then we went back to school. 1969, 21 years after my consecration vow, I resigned from government service. And I designed that every Friday afternoon I'll have no clinic. Then I'll go visiting the absentee members of the church, which at that time was Life BP Church, Gilstead Road. And as we drove along Jalan Corporation Road, it is still a road there in Jurong Town, I caught sight of the signboard, you know. I didn't know what to do. I had promised the Lord I'll go to do missions and become His servant. And perhaps some of you are thinking of that too. I say, you'll hear the voice of God directing you where to go. I don't know. But as I drove along that road, I saw a signboard, Jurong Town Corporation. I suddenly remembered the lecturer who lectured us in social medicine was the chairman of Jurong Town Corporation, Mr. Woon Wah Siang. So I said, no harm, no harm. Let me go in and say hello to him. Amazing, dear friends, is God not opening a door? You want to do missions, you don't even know where to go and what to do. You've never had 1 hour of lectures on missions. How do you know how to do missions? I don't know. But God knows. I walked in and there was Mr. Woon. Amazing. And of all things, he recognized me as a student from before. He says, what are you doing here? I said, I came to say hello to you. Huh? What are you doing actually? I said, I'm now wanting to do a to build a church in Jurong. Ah, that's good. He had been assigned by the government to industrialize the whole of Jurong town. It was a kind of fishing village with a lot of prawn farms and not any factories at all. And Dr. Goh Keng Swee told him, look, go and industrialize Jurong. Singapore must industrialize. In 1 year, he set up something like 700 factories. So when I suggested to him that I was there to do a church, he says, look, we have a piece of land earmarked for religious use. Church is religious, isn't it? I say, of course. So that became the first church that I had a hand in planting. People say, hey, how did you know what to do? You didn't go and do a mission, a course in missiology to study how to be a missionary. How did you know what to do? I say, I don't know what to do. But God who sent me knows what to do. I say this to all of you, please understand. If you give your life to the Lord, He can use it in so many ways. Of course, if you, today, young people, I would say, go to FEBC and be trained. Not me, at my age. To go there, I'll be redundant and funny. They think, hey, what are you doing here? You see, God can use you in so many ways. Some of you in part-time business or whatever you are doing, God can still use you. And out of you can grow churches. So that was the first. 4 years later, I went to see the same Mr. Woon. This time his JTC office was up a hill. Those of you who can see the building up on the hill of Jurong, with a kind like a submarine conning tower, that building is JTC. So I drove up that hill, and I appeared in his office. I said, hey, Xiang Hua, what are you doing here now? I said, the same old thing, I'm to do another church. He says, you mean you finished the other one and all done? I said, full house already. 400 people. It was by design that we did not want to build big. I said, we will be forced to move once we are full. And in the 4 years, 400 people came and filled up. I said, no more room, we'll go. So the first piece of land was 24,000. This piece he offered to us was 98,000. Amazing. Today, when you go to the JTC, they say, fill in the form, put in your tender, say what you want and your reason, and then you go for tender. You know what is tender? I don't know what they call it, PO or something. And then they will process and see who is the highest bid, and then they give it to you, whoever bids the highest price. No, in those days, you don't. Mr. Woon never said, how much are you going? Nothing. He just say, you want the land? I say, of course. And sign on the line. And you know what? God works in mysterious ways. Before we could sign, I went back to my clinic. I got a call from him. He says, hey, Xiang Hua, you better come because I'm retiring from my job. And before I retire, you better come and sign. See how God works. In a man who I hardly knew him, except that he lectured me. So I say, God opens doors. Now, do you believe in prayer? Because every time before I go out, I pray. Lord, I don't know what to do, but you know. Lead me and direct my footsteps for your own purpose. Not for mine. In 1981, the ICCC came to Singapore to hold a conference. Some of you may have attended that conference in Calvary Pandan. And we held it open air. How come in this kind of weather, when the rain can come anytime, any day, we hold it open air? Because the sanctuary we had in Pandan is not today's, you know. It could hold only about 500 to 600 or more, something around that. So we had to hold it open air in the quadrangle. The kindergarten is here, the entrance is here, and the fellowship hall is there, and the offices. And that quadrangle, we put chairs, about 1,000 chairs, plus the upstairs balcony chairs. So all together we could sit 1,500. Now, biggest problem is not the seating. You can sit them all there. But it was raining any time. What do we do? I said, look, if God wills us to hold the conference, pray that He'll keep back the rain from falling. Is that possible? Now you test God. We prayed. Monday came dry. Thank God. We met from 7 to 9, went home. Thank God it was dry. Tuesday, dry. Wednesday, dry. Thursday, dry. Friday, dry. So happy. The whole conference successfully conducted. When the people had all left, it was 10 o'clock. I got a phone call from my brother. Big rain had come down over Gilstead Road and also over Calvary Pandan. As he called, there was rain. Amazing. It is as it were a message from God to say, look, I held back the rain, and it's not by accident. I'll send you the rain now. Now that you're 1,500 people have gone back. This is to show you that your prayers are heard. So I said, dear friends, never stop praying, but pray earnestly and in faith. God can do things you never knew. You never knew. Last night we heard Elder Cheong say, this man called George Mueller has recorded 10,000 answers to prayer. I have not recorded any, but here's about 5 or 6. Enough to convince you that we have a God who knows and who also hears and answers prayer. Marrying in the Lord was an answer to prayer. Japanese time, no school. No work, nothing. So, it happened that I visited Johor Bahru on behalf of my father, whose friends are there. And in one of the houses, there was a young lady. We became friends. So began an association through that friendship. Whenever I had to go to Singapore, driving Singapore to Batok Pahat, I dropped there and visit this young lady. That was 46, 47. In 47, I went to medical college, not Bible college. And I thought, well, everything was well because we had been going steady, you know, 4 years. However, she was Seventh-day Adventist. And I knew the faith of the Seventh-day Adventist was not quite according to our Bible faith. But you know, when you are so friendly and so thick, as they say, I just carry on. But I prayed. I said, Lord, please do your will for me. Show me clearly. If there is no obstruction, I will take it as you approve. 1947, I was in medical college. First term only, I receive a letter. Now, do you believe this, that God can answer your prayer? The letter was very simply written by this young girl, 4 years my junior. Dear so and so, this is the last letter to you. Please forget me. It's all over. This is stunning to me. So stunning that I could not study for a while. But thank God I had a second brother who was also in medicine. He says, "You silly boy, wake up. There are so many girls. It's not this is the last one on earth." So it was. Then I pulled myself together. I said, "God is good." Say, "Silly man, now that you don't have to divert your energies to another source, put all your time and energy to your books and study," which I did. So I came through, examined at the end of the year, top. I said, that is a confirmation that God is blessing. Now, second year, I began to change my focus, look around the class. Our year was the first year after the Japanese occupation. Are you following? And many of the students were mature students and also accumulated about a dozen or more girl students. Very unusual, because normally there'll be five or six, but here there were over a dozen. So I came to be closer to this group of girls. And one, Miss Tan Cheng Im, who later on married me, I thought she was pretty good. But I gave God a condition. If she proves, I found out that she was a Methodist, but we are Bible Presbyterians, and the kind of faith that we believe is quite biblical and different from the Methodists. I don't know whether the Methodists have improved or degenerated lately. Anyhow, I said to myself, if she proves to be godly, then we will continue and deepen our relationship. Amazingly, I asked her to go to a Christian fellowship meeting. We were going to start a new fellowship called the VCF. Those of you who are in university today will know there is a VCF, which she, I, and a few other students, four or five of us, founded as the University Evangelical Fellowship. And of all things, she agreed. And she became one of the very core members. I said that's the first confirmation, at least one point up. That was 1948-49. 1950, brother came back from America and we started the BP Church. Now I thought that was a bigger test. Will you come to our founding meeting of the BP Church? You're Methodist, will you join us? She came along and thereafter became BP, founding member of BP Church. I said, to our confirmation, that's good enough. So she continued steadfastly through all the years. We got married in 1954, the year after graduation. The Lord is good. He gave me this help meet. I want to read to you from Genesis chapter 2 so that we understand what is matrimony, what is marriage. You know that man did not invent marriage, not the biologists or the sociologists, but it was a creator. The one who created us in Genesis chapter 2 has specific instructions on what we must do. Out of Adam, you remember, we are on Genesis chapter 2, the last three verses. Jesus, God put Adam to sleep. And as he slept, he did the first surgical operation, taking out the rib and enclosing back the flesh thereof. Out of the rib, he created woman. Verse 23 and 4. And when Adam came to, out of the divine anesthesia, he woke up and saw this beautiful lady. And he said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh." Please understand, young men, if you are courting a young lady, this is exactly what she is. Bone of your bones, flesh of your flesh. You think you're going to marry her? You got to accept her as that. My bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now comes the divine commandment. This is a real good verse for those contemplating marrying. Marrying in the Lord, not anyhow. Don't think that this is, never mind, anyhow. If doesn't work, divorce and try another time. No, this is not the game you're going to play. Verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. This is a divine commandment. This is the way it should be done and the basis on which it should be done. No other basis. What basis? You, young lady, are going to be bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and I promise you, I'll treat you as such. So that you can say, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. I'll commit this to the Lord in prayer, but make sure that both are Bible-believing and Bible-obeying. So here it is. Therefore shall a man leave father and mother and join. The word cleave means join his wife. And the two will become one flesh. So never, never think there is an escape clause. There's a little spare valve. In case it doesn't work, we can always part company and then try again. Don't, please. If the young lady is agreeable, appreciate her sacrifice for you. And thereafter, honor this verse. You are bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Together, let us build a home for the Lord to the glory of God. In May 2010, we completed 56 years of being yoked together. Do you know what is a yoke? A yoke refers to two plowing animals, like two oxes, and they are yoked together to plow. And this is a picture of husband and wife. It is a beautiful picture. Both of you who are married will continue in that relationship. I say this for the sake of those who are married and those who are intending to marry. You are going to be yoked. But it is a happy yoke. The two of you doing the same thing, same objective, same purpose, same home, same interests, from the day that we got married, I never looked after the dollars and cents. Very simple. I said, you be Minister of Finance, okay? After that, you look after. Of course, there are many people who continue and perfectly well. Two accounts. You run your account, I run my account. You earn and you put your money there. I earn, I put my money here. That is another way. I'm not saying it's no good. But my way. Okay. Dearly beloved, we are discussing something that touches on the basis of life that God intended, not as they do in America. You know, in America, which is now the cultural leader of the whole world, when you get married, many places, the agreement is not till death us do part, till we exhaust our love. This is worked in, and the conditions for divorce are also worked in. Now, this is a fact that society has degenerated to the point that a country which was founded on the basic Christian faith. How was it? Please remember, the founding fathers, the pilgrim fathers, and those who ran away, escaped from Europe, was because of religious persecution. And they could not take it. They said, hey, across the water, in America, there is a new world, new world, new land. We can worship God the way we want to worship, so that in all the Eastern Seaboard schools and universities, written into the charter was a story of how God delivered them out of England, Ireland, Holland, France, and those places. And they went across, all written into the charter. Today, that charter is lost. America is more and more secularized, more and more worldly, and less Christian. So that divorce becomes part of the agreement, of the charter of getting married, all written in. So there are some who change wives as cars every few years. Amazing. Let us not anyone entertain such a thought. Yes. God has given you the opportunity. Honor God. Years we were together. Is it enough? Answer is no. The second installment is coming in heaven. That is where it will resume. At the moment, it is a comma, yeah, not the full stop. Yes. I'm going to read to you a verse from Job, the man of God. The godly man. First chapter, last verse. And this is to help those who may experience some sad event in the course of your marital life. Here you know the story. Marrying in the Lord includes dying in the Lord. Verse 21 of Job chapter 1. And Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return the same way. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." His wife says, "Silly man, silly. Don't you think you should curse God and die? In one day you lost all your family, your children, 10 of them. Lost your house, lost your flocks, all the thousands of animals, all gone. Now you, nothing left. What do you do?" I say, God help us. All those who are married, appreciate one another. Even as I'm sure Job appreciated his family and his wife. Except the wife did not get the same kind of understanding as he did. So Job says, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and here I am. Has God done me an injustice?" Answer is no. I was born with nothing. I didn't bring with me a wife. In the process of life, God gave me a wife. Now he's taken the wife away. What is there to complain? No. So he says, "The Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So, how many years are you married? 20, 30, 40, 50. It's like old wine. I don't drink wine. I don't know what is old wine. And they say old wine is the best. So marriage grows more mature and more seasoned. And the longer, the better. Some of you have asked me, what did she die of? Let me tell you, very simple terms. Systems failure. You know what systems failure? We have many systems in our body. Nervous system is one. Gastrointestinal is one. And the cardiovascular is one system. And her basic failures were in about 6 or 7 systems, one after the other. About 10 years ago, I had to send her to hospital to put in an artificial knee joint because the knee joint has worn off. Now, what is the cause of that? I say she chose the wrong father, the wrong mother. This is genetic. So, dear friends, some of us here will suffer the same degeneration of systems. What is in the knee joint? You know, all joints, including joints in your car, have a washer, something in between. And the washer is a piece of cartilage, not bone, but in between this is a soft tissue, so that the joint can move back and forth without grinding and grating on the bone. For her, those cartilage had finished, and she had to remove the cartilage until there's bone against bone. When bone goes against bone, it is very painful. She couldn't walk. So I sent her to hospital, and she came up with a new knee joint, stainless steel. Now you cannot go on and on, because the next thing, besides the knee, she had her bladder, her bowel, her ears, her eyes. Do you notice that in the days when she was still attending church, She could not hear. Of course, you can't see that a person cannot hear, but she doesn't hear well. And to put in hearing aid, the cheap hearing aid is $5,000. He said, "You want a good one, $18,000. Just to hear me preach." So this system's failure went on and on and on. Eventually, it affected her bladder, her bowels. She could not retain. Whenever she ate, something came out. Then came cardiovascular system. The arteries and the heart itself was affected, breaking down. You know, we have valves in the heart that enable the heart to pump and the blood to go out and the blood not to come back. There were valves that close. When the heart beats, valve opens, blood goes out, then the valve comes back. But hers became incompetent. Instead of closing, open again. Open, 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 open. And so your heart got to pump, 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 working double time. And the risk, firstly, is heart failure. Your heart grows bigger to accommodate this extra work. But the worst thing that happens is that the artery, which is called the aorta, under the pressure of constant pumping, 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 the artery begins to swell. And instead of being a tube like this, becomes a balloon like this. And the balloon, you know what happens if you keep on blowing the balloon? It bursts. This was exactly what was about to happen. So these are the system's failure. All man degenerates. You need a new man. And God will give us the new man. Did she know the risk she was running? Yes. She, being medically trained, she understood it very well. But how did we plan for it? I asked her, "Would you like to go overseas and have it repaired?" No. So, about a year before this operation, she went for MRI, for the special check, not x-rays, but some other technique. And they found this artery was already blowing up to about 6.8 centimeters instead of 2.6. It was now a small balloon. And at times she eats, and she says, "Hey, it's very hard to swallow." I said, "That's it. The balloon is growing and it is obstructing the esophagus where you swallow." She went in for the operation and did not come round. The old man perishes, but the new man is renewed day by day. So this is the story of how systems failure. I hope none of you are suffering from systems failure like she was, because it becomes very distressing in the last years and months. While she was able, I want to give a little testimony for the sake of the ladies. She served the Lord. Of course, those of you who know her recently will not see her serving much at all. In fact, she could not serve because of her physical condition. But in the old days, in Prinsep Street and in Gilstead Road, she looked after cradle roll. You know what's cradle roll? I don't know whether they have it nowadays. She looked after all the new babies that were born. And send them birthday cards and so on and so forth. Cradle role, look after the newborn babies. She sang in the choir. She also participated in Bible study groups. She led the Bible study group. Some of you were in her class. And the other thing that she loved to do was to take the roll call. Attendance. She stand at the front door and mark attendance. People who come and people who don't. So that those who don't can receive a little letter of reminder. So these are the things I thought I could share with you. Serving the Lord was her joy. Marrying in the Lord, she was agreeable to all. Never a complaint, never a complaint about, hey, why do you give to this and that and the other? Why do you support missions? Why do you travel so much? In all our 56 years, we have had vacations overseas, counted on the fingers of two hands, less. Yes, many people have done long global trips, seen Grand Canyon, etc., etc. We've done nothing of those things. So this is not to boast about anything at all, but to say that she was fully supportive of missions. Whenever I have to travel, she never complains. You go, but only thing is come back soon. Come back soon. So, dear friends, I say, the Lord giveth, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To those who are contemplating, I say, put all your trust in the Lord and commit your ways to the Lord. He will bring it to pass. I give you two verses that she gave me, and that will end our evening's discussions. Psalm 37, her favorite verses that she gave to me. I want to share with you. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. It's very good for those contemplating marriage. Excellent. What does it say here? Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Amazing promise. You delight yourself in the Lord, and He will take note of it and send you the desire of your heart. Verse 5, commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass. My first outing after 4 years, it's very hard for me to terminate and say, you are Seventh-day Adventist and I'm not. I think we better call it off. But she took this initiative. I say, the Lord is good. It's better because I don't want to break her heart. You see, the Lord is able. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. He will bring it to pass. And then to get the better half, the real better half, for 56 years, has fulfilled all my desires. May it be so with all of you here, all you young people. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Good night. God bless you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank Thee for all the years of Thy goodness and Thy blessing, guidance, and leading. Help us that we will love thee more and look to thee in all things. Bless thy people in the audience here. Grant to us that we will love thee even as thou hast loved us. To know that thou knowest the future better than we do, so that we may put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. This is our prayer. Bless your people here tonight with great and mighty blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.